Well, it's lovely to see you, especially as I didn't realise it was only 10 seconds to go. Now, has anybody got a birthday that they're not telling us about? No. Oh, hang on, there's a hand going up down here. Heather's birthday? Lovely. Well, we'll sing happy birthday to Heather. Doesn't matter when you sing it. It's nice and close. This film night is Friday week, the 8th. Please let Diane know. And it's Golda. Saturday week, yep. And it's Golda. And the other thing is, if you've picked up a plan and there wasn't a little sticky on Easter Sunday, we are having a service here, and it is our dear Ruth Lucas coming to preach. So I've tried to change all of them. All the ones that are there are now changed, but some of may have got out because I ran out of stickies a fortnight ago. So bear in mind, don't go anywhere else. If you want to hear Ruth, come here. So thank you to everyone who's taking part today, and we'll start with a prayer. Thank you, Lord, that we are able to come here today to worship you and spend time with our church family. Thank you, too, for the glorious sunshine that broke through the winter blues this week, for half-term holidays, walks on the beach, crashing waves, surfers and kite flyers of all ages, for the muddy boots of the children who tramped through the woods and filled it with their laughter, for the rain that fills our reservoirs so that there is water in our taps. Forgive us, Lord, if we have forgotten to make a call or a visit to someone who cannot get out in the sunshine and fresh air, and jog our memories and help us to do better. Amen. Now we're going to sing our first song, which is Seek Ye First. And Heather's going to play. And of our All Together worships for this year, based on the prayers in the Bible. Last month we heard about Hannah from Karen. Today it's Solomon. And in Proverbs 15, verse 14, it says, "A wise man is hungry for knowledge, while a fool feeds on trash." Which will Solomon turn out to be? We now receive the offertory. Thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that you bestow upon each one of us. We give you thanks for these gifts and all those that are paid online, that they may be used wisely in the work for your kingdom. Amen. And now I hand over to Katie.
I'm overpowered now. So we all have dreams. Sometimes we don't even realise they are dreams. But we all, they do come true sometimes. Oh, this is going to be fun this morning. They do come true sometimes. But what we're going to do for just 2 minutes is share around the table some of the dreams that you may have, perhaps something you've written down or perhaps something you haven't. So we'll have just a couple of minutes to share those dreams between you. It's a mistake to give you free lane to talk to each other, because by now you're going to be talking about what you did this week, the recipe for your lunch today, what the weather is. So Yeah, Ellie's going to, Ellie, I think it is, or Mary is going to come round with the mic, and we're just going to share a couple from each table. Oh, great one. Be an actor. I'd like to be an actor. Well, as you can see, we all have different dreams, but very often they're linked, aren't they? There's many of us that are praying for peace. Praying to be an actor. Like it. Now, what sort of actor would you like to be? Would you like to be on television? Would you like to be on the stage? Sorry, Glenys, can we just have 2 seconds? We can't hear what... Sorry, sweetheart, start again. You'd like to be in a movie. Wow. Great, great dream. And Alison, what sort of concert would you like to go to? Maybe like Taylor Swift. Oh, yes, I think there's many young people that have that dream. Actually, I know one family that had that dream that went all the way to... at Austria recently, and when they got there, everything was cancelled. So they had 4 or 5 days of a family of four, and the concert was cancelled. So it's obviously waiting for Harrison to catch it up. Well, as Mary said, we're going to be thinking about Solomon today, and he had a dream, and I wonder what his dream was all about. Jean is going to come and read to us. At this point, we've got to think of Jean being 3,000 years older than she is now, okay?
One night, while Solomon was in Gibeon, the Lord God appeared to him in a dream and said, "Solomon, ask for anything you want and I will give it to you." Solomon answered, "My father David, your servant, was honest and did what you commanded. You were always loyal to him and you gave him a son who is now king. Lord God, I'm your servant and you've made me king in my father's place, but I'm very young and know so little about being a leader. And now I must rule your chosen people, even though there are too many of them to count. Please make me wise and teach me the difference between right and wrong. Then I will know how to rule your people. If you don't, there is no way I could rule this great nation of yours." Thanks be to God for this reading.
Amen. Wow. He had a dream. It was a big dream, wasn't it? It's a big shout for Solomon. Poor Solomon. First of all, a little bit about him. Firstly, as I say, This happened about 3,000 years ago. But he wasn't 3,000 years old. He was about 20. Now, can you imagine for a moment that there's this great king, he's Father David, he's reported to be the greatest king of all times, and as he's dying, he says to his son, Solomon, you are my heir to the throne. Solomon may be a little bit surprised because he did have two older brothers, half-brothers. And he may have been a little bit surprised, but he might also have been a little bit scared, I reckon. Because can you imagine being 20 and being told you have to rule a whole nation, a big nation by now? There were parts I'm sure he enjoyed, because there was a great ceremony when he was anointed, when he was made king. And it must have been quite a spectacular occasion, I reckon, because when the trumpets sounded, that meant all the official part of the day was over. But then we read earlier in Kings that there was a great procession, and the people led Solomon into Jerusalem, and they were shouting, "Long live King Solomon!" And perhaps even better still, after that, they had a great party. Because it's we're told once again, earlier in the Kings, 1 Kings 1:40, that the people were playing flutes and rejoicing greatly, so that the ground shook with the sound. That's some party, isn't it? It sounds like some of the parties that used to happen in the house where we lived before, actually. There were some great parties going on there, but even the house shook. But the whole ground shook. There were so many people. But in the coming months, after that wonderful start, I imagine Solomon must have felt pretty confused and overwhelmed. I think, how would I have felt when I was 20? Actually, I can barely remember being 20, to be fair. But how would I have felt when I was 20 and being given a big job like that? How would you feel, Atana, if you were told that you're going to be on the stage tomorrow on the main part, but you hadn't had any training? Unprepared. Yeah, you would, wouldn't you? You'd feel really inadequate. You know, in those days, the kings had a lot more hands-on stuff to do. I mean, their word was law. They made the decisions. They even led the battles. It's not quite like we see kings now or queens. And one of the first things that Solomon did after he was king was to have his older brother murdered, because he thought it might have been a threat to the throne. And he had other people disposed of for the same reason. You know, he thought, I'm frightened they're going to overthrow me. And perhaps this wasn't the greatest start, to be fair. But he saw all these people as obstacles, things getting in his way of building the nation that he knew he had to build. And he was probably worried that everything his father had built up was going to come crashing down. There were very valid worries. But how could that apply to us? We're always told that if we read the Bible, we can find an application for ourselves. Well, we're going to listen to a little video, and we're going to see how this works out for Steve. Not these Steves, a different Steve. Thank you, Ellie.
It's Grow TV, where we grow together and learn about God.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Grow TV. I'm Stephen. As you can see, I am wearing a hard hat and a reflective vest. It's standard construction site protocol, and that's where I'm going. A construction site. I get to shadow a foreman on a construction site. Basically follow him around and he's in charge of the whole thing. If it falls down, it's on him. But if he builds the greatest thing that has ever been built in history, then that's on him too. And that brings me to the blocks. You see, I'm kind of nervous because I have a bit of history of being a little clumsy around stuff and let's just say, still a process. So we're gonna play a game to see how long I can go without knocking over these blocks. We'll call the game, Don't Knock the Blocks. Are you ready? Start the timer. Go. Here we go. I've actually poured myself a glass of milk and I just... Okay, stop the timer. 5 seconds. 5 seconds and I spilled my milk? Oh, nah, man. I'm about to cry. All right, that was an accident. Anyone could have done that. You know what? I'm just gonna build these blocks back over again. Cool. Don't knock the blocks. Take two. Start the clock. Here we go. Hey, Sam, what's going on, man? Did I see the Knicks? Of course I saw the Knicks. I'm gonna call you back. 5 seconds. 5 seconds again?
Hey, Steve. Cool vest and hard hat. Need some help?
Yeah, but before you come any further, you're gonna need these. Trust me. I don't know if I could survive being on a construction site. If I could ask for anything in the world, it would be that I could be just a little less clumsy. Man, I'm tired of bumping into things and knocking things over and even spilling some milk.
I'm gonna need a little bit of context for this whole situation. But your request reminds me of a Bible story. One night, the Lord appeared to a person named Solomon and said to him in 1 Kings 3:5, ask for whatever you want me to give you.
For real? Anything?
That's what the Lord said. Solomon was taking over the job of king from his dad, David. Those were big shoes to fill. Solomon was nervous about being really young and being liked. Maybe kind of like you're nervous about visiting this whole construction site.
Yeah, I'm shadowing this foreman. I'm a bit nervous I'm gonna bring the whole building down to the ground.
Solomon was worried that the kingdom would fall to the ground with him as king. So, you know what he did? He asked for wisdom. In 1 Kings 3:9, Solomon said to the Lord, so give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong.
Smart kid.
God was so pleased with this request that God said Solomon would not only get wisdom, but all the things that Solomon didn't ask for, like long life, great wealth. And Solomon is known to this day as one of the wisest people to ever live. Solomon was nervous about taking over what his father had built. He knew he would need discernment to be a good and fair king and not to destroy anything. So Solomon went straight to God with his requests. God listened and responded, just like God will for us, because God listens to our requests.
So I should pray about this construction business.
You certainly can. Who knows? Maybe you'll steer clear of destruction and have the best day ever.
Well, here goes. God, thanks for listening. That was very cool. I have this shadowing thing at a construction site going on today, and I'd really like it if I didn't destroy anything. That'll be cool, too. If it was a real good day. I just want to learn what it's like to be in charge of building stuff. That's all. Thanks. Amen. No matter how it goes, it's really cool to know that God listens to our requests when we're nervous or worried about anything. No matter how it turns out, we're never alone in those situations. Solomon wasn't alone in taking over for his father. I won't be alone today when I'm on a construction site. You ain't alone in what you're going through. We have a God who loves us and listens to our requests. Hey, this has been Standing Here with me for some time now. I think I'm ready to do this. You know, it's been fun building and rebuilding with you and learning Bible stuff with you today. It's always good to learn and grow together. See you next time. Bye.
Poor Steve. He was so nervous, wasn't he? He was nervous because it was the first day of his job. Perhaps he really needed that job. I'm sure that many of you can remember being nervous starting a job or perhaps going to school for the first time or changing school. Yeah. And you remember, Malcolm?
Yeah.
Yeah? Was that going to school?
They came
by school. So.
Holding it up, and I didn't want to go in there.
Oh, you think it was going to collapse?
It wasn't properly built. It was like pillars that
going up
like that
huge
window.
But you did go in.
I had a job to get me to go in, but I didn't approve the way it was built.
But it stayed with you, so it's a very strong memory, isn't it, of being nervous about something.
I thought it was all going to fall down. But yes. Sure, this.
Has anybody else got any memories of feeling nervous about something? Something starting?
I think when I started doing caring work, I mean, I had gone through a course and everything, but when it actually
Absolutely. No, it isn't silly at all. I think this is the reality of it, isn't it? That I'm, as many of you will know, I'm the worst warrior in the world. I know it's not biblical. I am very aware I shouldn't be. But I do. I worry. I'm nervous about everything. Right.
My
yep. Oh, lots of nods going on here. Yeah, that's another one, isn't it? Taking a driving test. I wasn't so good at going to school. Oh, I went, but I mean, I used to worry about school, but then I worry about everything, so it's not unusual for me. Yes, Heidi?
Important exams,
yes. Exams. Taking tests, yeah. And at work, isn't it? Everything is built around exams. I was speaking to someone just at the door a couple of days ago, and she's got a job. And when I said to Bill, she's really worried, she's got a 2,000 assignment to get through by Monday, Bill said to me, why? Why has she got to do this, you know? And I said, because in the workplace, this is how you survive now. It's all about taking tests and exams and keeping going. And it can be quite worrying. So just like that Steve was, he was really worried because he just didn't know how to go about it. He got distracted, as we saw. And one of the things was his phone. This can be a major distraction, can't it? I'm a person who leaves my phone in the back of the car. I will not have it in the front. Because if I hear a message ping and it's in the front, I'd be tempted to look who it's from. So I leave it in the back, which doesn't mean I look over my shoulder and find the phone. It means I leave it completely. But yes, just like Steve was in that video, we do sometimes do things wrong and get distracted. And I would imagine it was exactly the same for Solomon. I can't see he would be any different. There were things he got wrong, for sure, but there were things he got right, too. You know, he made an alliance with Pharaoh, who was the king of Egypt. And that afforded him constant supply line for his building projects and for his, later on, his shipping business. It gave him trade. It brought the country wealth. To secure this, he'd married the king's, Pharaoh's, daughter. And he built her a great palace. This was great for the newlyweds. The only problem was Solomon had taken his eye off the fact that there was trouble brewing. You see, he hadn't finished. He had started, but he hadn't finished the great temple that we know Solomon built. And although it was on its way, there was no altar in it, which was key to the God's people. So what did they do? They started getting distracted and wandered off to pagan sites where they worshipped. This is the reason that Solomon had gone to Gibeon that we heard in the Bible text. He'd gone to Gibeon because he was so confused about this. How could he possibly go about it? He recognized that actually his focus had been just a tiny bit wrong in places. So he goes to Gibeon, and it is there that God appears to him in a dream. "Ask for anything you want," God said, "and I will give it to you." If you were a 20-year-old boy, what do you think you'd have asked for? You did at the time, yes, you had to be tall. Hang on, shoes are coming off. That would have sorted it, Malcolm. That would have sorted it. That would have given you the extra inch you needed. Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing, my mother said, "Malcolm, you've got to start the school. You're starting the school."
Yes, you've got
to start. Thinking, my little brain, thinking that what my dad used to do, start these tractor, would have started Endel.
Yeah.
That's what I had in my head, and I was crying. I said, "I'm not starting the school."
Mm.
But anyway, she sent me, she took me along, she walked me all the way to Severus, all the way to school, and then she introduced me to the teachers, thinking I was going to start school with a start list.
Well, that...
I was only 5 years old.
They're quite hard times, some of these things, aren't they? They're quite hard, some of these things. But a 20-year-old boy very often would be thinking of lots of things like fast cars or being very rich. They have dreams, very different to perhaps the dreams that I put on at my age.
So what did you do when you were 20, Kathleen?
I can't remember at this stage, Malcolm. Yeah, we'll leave that one for now, because if I go through all my jobs, we might be here a while. One of my dreams today may not surprise you. It's that messy vintage would be in every care home. It's one of the dreams I have of these many dreams. But it's not something probably a 20-year-old would have prayed for. And for Solomon, what was utmost in his mind was the unrest and unease of his people. So perhaps it's not so surprising that this young man didn't ask for the equivalent of the fast car, perhaps a golden chariot. He didn't ask for treasures, perhaps like a mobile phone. He didn't even ask for great wealth, which could have bought those things. he asks for wisdom. Not knowledge, that's quite different to wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. Knowledge comes from learning. You know, Solomon finally realizes that he can't do things on his own, and he holds up his dreams. He holds up all his dreams for the nation, and he prays. Because when we are talking to God, we are praying. And when he did that, well, there was no limit to what God did. He did realize his prayer, but he also gave him much more, as we heard, much more than he'd asked for. God listened to Solomon and made him wiser because he talked to God. We know with Solomon, we think of Solomon in all his glory and this wise king, which he did become, all because he held his dreams up to God. And you know, God listens to our requests too, all these requests that we've written down and many, many, many more. God listens to our requests and he helps us through all situations. He may not make us wise in the way that Solomon was wise, because that's not who we were born to be. But he does help us discern. This is a word we use for wisdom now, isn't it? Discernment. He does help us to know which way to go with things, what to do. And he does that through the Holy Spirit that he gave us through Jesus. I had, as we were coming along this morning, I had a glimpse at the new, poster. But I couldn't see the poster because it was a little bit, so I said to Ellie, what does the poster say? And the poster says, let Jesus rebuild your life. Wow, was that something that was apparent in this story? We have Jesus now, through whom we intercede to God. And Ali was approached this morning, and Ali, I'd ask you to say actually what this lady said rather than say it third hand. Sorry, I've dumped this on you.
When I was wiping down the glass on the notice boards, this lady drove past and waved, and I didn't know her. The next thing, she was walking through the gate and she came across and she said, do you change the posters? So I said, normally, yes. She said, well, I just want to tell you how much they talk to me at various points in my life, and they've made such a difference. I have even stopped and taken photos and shared with my friends. So she says, please don't ever stop.
Well, but look what a difference it's making to that lady's life. And we will be, I know, corporately and singly praying for her. Because, you know, sometimes it seems such a small dream. It seems too small to hand over. Sometimes it's a big dream. But nothing is impossible for God. And the important thing is that, as Ali says, that lady said, don't stop putting them up. I say, don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Our prayers may be answered straight away. Others will take a long time. God knows what is right for each and every one of us. And all these dreams that seem impossible, especially worldly dreams, especially Trump, they seem impossible to us, but they're not impossible for God. So keep praying. Never stop praying. And you know, when God's people pray, great things happen. Diane passed on to me a song that from YouTube called "Don't Stop Praying," and we might get the chorus today. It's not one I doubt anybody knows here. They may do. It wasn't one I knew. She passed it to me and said, "Do you know this?" Which I didn't. And when I heard it, I said to her, "This perhaps is something we need to do every time." You know, our theme is praying. If we sing "Don't Stop Praying" by December, I reckon we'll all be able to sing it. But today, we'll listen and we'll join in the chorus, because I'm sure we'll get the chorus, if nothing else. Thank you, Ellie. Etana, don't ever stop praying that you become an actor, because if you're meant to be, God will make that happen. And I'm sure that's true about the concert too. Don't stop praying. Thank you, Mary. We're going to pray, I reckon.
Yeah, you're right. So let us bow our heads and let us pray. We come before you seeking guidance and wisdom for all, especially for the young, as they navigate through the life's challenges and uncertainties. Help them to choose the right path in all they face in this complicated world. Lord, you are our rock, fortress, and source of hope. Help us to cast our worries and burdens on you, and fill us with your peace and love for all others. We pray for the persecuted Christians all over the world. We have no idea what it must be like to live under such circumstances. We remember Christians in Eritrea, where they face mass arrest and isolation. We remember the ongoing crisis in Ukraine and Middle East, where the overriding need is for peace. Give wisdom to all leaders that they may be guided by you and not by motives of self. For each hostage longing to be home with their family, and every family mourning the loss of a loved one. We pray for those who are carers for loved ones. For when they struggle, Lord, help them, pick them up. It can be a really difficult job. But Lord, they are doing such a valuable one. Help them to lay their burdens on you and you to uphold them. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Help us to do our bit to care for your wonderful creation, to conserve water so that there is water in our taps. Keep our beaches clean and not destroy the natural beauty of this amazing place that we live on. Amen.
Amen.
And now we'll say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And now we're going to have our last song, which is Trust in the Lord with Actions. Now, I had to look at this again yesterday because I'd forgotten some of the bits. So we're going to give it a go. And Linda, would you come and help me?
No.
Haven't asked.
Maybe as long as you're not.
No, I'm coming.
We need a chair. We need two of you.
Okay, so we say, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever. Amen. Go and take your dreams with you and present them to the Lord. And have a wonderful week.